Very good. Ki Tavoh is potentially a downer in that it contains the tochacha. So instead of it being a downer today, I want to talk about simcha. Because simcha, joy, is one of the hidden themes that appears throughout the parsha, if you only know where to look for it. Actually, it's kind of in front of you, if you'll see it, if you look for it. But there's a lot more to it than of course, than we think. So we'll begin with the beginning of Ki Tavoh, and we're going to see this theme in a number of different locations in the parsha. And the first place we're going to see it is at the very, very beginning of the parsha. Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. Right, you bring the Bikurim, it's a mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim, and then there's something called Bikra Bikurim. You make a declaration. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it says the following. Parsha begins, V'haya, ki tavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha nachala, v'yirishta v'yashavta ba. It will be when you will come to the land that the Lord, will God, will give you an inheritance, and you will inherit it, and you will dwell in it. Okay, so the Or HaChaim on the word V'haya writes the following. You have an Or HaChaim, it says the following. Amar V'haya Lashon Simcha. Anytime it says V'haya, it's language of joy. L'ha'ir She'en Yisamoach Ele B'Yishivat Ha'aretz. This teaches us that joy, the only real joy, true joy, is when we dwell in the land of Israel. Al Derech Omro Az Yemaleis Chok Pino. Then Yemaleis Chokpino, the joy of our mouths will be fulfilled. Okay? Bahaya kitavah la'aretz, somehow bahaya is lashon simcha.
Where does he get that from?
Excellent question. Right. The Midrash says bahaya is lashon simcha. He quotes Breishit Rabbah Mem Bet Gimel. I don't know. Look it up. The Midrash says bahaya is lashon simcha.
Is that the first place that bahaya appears?
No, bahaya appears all over the Torah. Bahaya im shemoah, bahaya ki
biyacha. No, I mean the first place.
Well, the real question is the first place here?
No, it's not. What else at the end?
We're at the end of the Torah. Yeah.
No, been gracious.
Well, they have, right, their Simchat Eretz Yisrael, correct. And they're at Simchat, but they can only bless you when they have the right state of mind. But how is that connected to Vahaya?
Well, just to the point though, that in Eretz Yisrael don't have Simchat, that in Kul, they can only.
Correct.
And here, because it's
this level
of simcha daily that they're able to
give the Baruch. Correct. Absolutely correct. The Baruch Hashem, they have to have this love. They have to have this state of mind to be at going to give the Baruch.
Very, very unpopular
about Torah. Really? Have you given it? How's it go over?
I've heard this point that people there are not happy to hear it.
People are not happy to hear a lot of things.
Right? Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
There's a pasuk.
There's a lot of bahayas. There's a ton of bahayas.
So how could you say the bahayas
are in
simcha?
I don't know. Ask Or HaChaim. He says it here because bahaya ki tavo la'aretz. It's a simcha. We'll get to it. What is the nature of the bahaya? What is this joy? Okay. So we're gonna skip the whatever. Skip most of the mikra bikurim. Okay. Skip the pasuk yud. In the curriculum, come back pasuk yud. Ve'ata. So you say, in shul I get to lane many rishons. So this is one of my favorite pieces to lane. Because it seems very personal to me. Because we say, in the Mikra Bikurim, we say the following, Vayivyeinu el ha'makom hazeh, you brought us to this place, Vayitin lanu et ha'aretz hazot, you gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalav u'Dvash. Okay? And so you gave it, by the way, Eretz Zavat Chalav u'Dvash appears many times in this week's parasha. I'm not entirely sure why, but if you look in my Tanakh, I underlined it. Okay? Va'ata. Hinei heveiti et reishit pri adamah shenatata li'Hashem. Now I've brought the first few fruits that you have given me. V'hinachta lifnei Hashem elokecha, v'ishtachavita lifnei Hashem elokecha. You place it before God, you place this basket of Bikurim in front of the Mizbeach. And you bow down, and you say, and then it says, "V'samachta b'chol hatov v'shenatam lecha Hashem elokecha u'lebeitecha." V'samachta, you shall take joy in all of the good that Hashem, the Lord your God, gives you and to your family. Ata v'halevi v'hager asher v'kirbecha. You and the Levi and the ger within your midst. What in the world is going on here? How is this pasuk part of the mitzvah of Bikurim? It's a very interesting question. What in the world is it doing here? You give Bikurim and you say Arami Obeid Avi, and you place the basket and you bow down, and then it says, V'samachta b'chol hatov. What does it mean? It means that you have to be happy, you will be happy, you should be happy. And then it says, Ata, you, the Levi, and the Ger in your midst. Oui. You okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know. Unfortunately, my... Okay. Getting better, Bezat Hashem? Bezat Hashem. Terrific. Yeah, right. You and the Levi and the Ger within your midst. What is this as a Machta Macholato? So if you look at Rashi, there's very, very limited Midrashim on it. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says something fascinating. Rashi says, V'samachta b'chol atov. What's V'samachta b'chol atov? Mikan amru. From this we learned, Ein korei mikra bikurim ela bizman simcha me'atzeret v'ad hachav. When do you do mikra bikurim? When you bring the bikurim, when can you bring the bikurim? You can really bring the bikurim anytime you want. You can really bring it anytime you want. There's no set time, but they establish a time from atzeret, from Shavuot, until Chag, until Sukkot. Why? What's special about that time? Why is that a specifically joyous time?
It's the harvest time.
Oh, very good. Right. Why? You're happy. You're in a good
summer
mood.
Summer vacation.
Yeah, great.
Remember
that? Sha'adam melaket v'ato v'peirotav v'yeino u'shmano. A person is gathering his grain and his fruits and his wine and his shemen. Ava minachag ve'elech mevi ve'eino korei. After Sukkot, if you bring Bikurim, you bring it, but you don't say Mikra Bikurim. Why don't you say it? This is very similar to what you just said. Because you're not happy anymore. Why are you not happy anymore?
Because
you're worried. Forget work. Working isn't the problem. Now you're anxious about next year.
But you also need what to bring. And between Shavuot and Sukkot is
no, but you're bringing from last year. Let's say I didn't bring it. I didn't have a chance. It's sitting in my attic. It's in my garage. Remember those? Okay. It's sitting in my, garage. Right, that's how you say it?
You're
sitting in
my
garage. Thank you. Okay, you're sitting in the garage.
What do you say? Garage.
Yeah. Right. Sitting in the garage, and I haven't brought it yet. So if I bring it after Sukkot, I don't say Mikra Bikurim. I don't say this whole formula. Why? Because you're not happy. But it seems something different. It seems that, so Rashi is taking this V'samachta b'chol atov in a very technical way. What's the samachta b'chol atov? You have to do it at a time of joy. The Midrash says something a little bit different.
The Midrash says... And the time of joy is dictated.
What's that?
And the time of joy is dictated. It's not when you feel a personal joy. It's like
a seasonal. Says the Midrash. What's the samachta? Ne'amar kan v'samachta v'ne'amar lahalan. It's later v'samachta b'chagecha. What is v'samachta b'chagecha vis-a-vis the chagim? Ma simcha amur lahalan korban shlamim. It's a korban. That's a simcha. Zman simchatenu is the time we bring korban. Zman the time of korban shlamim. Afkan simcha korban shlamim. So you should bring the bikurim at the same time you're bringing your korban shlamim. That sound like? Does that? It's very technical. It's very limiting. It's very, how should we say, minimizing of this v'samachta b'chol hatov. If we were interpreting v'samachta b'chol hatov, how would v'samachta b'chol hatov be related to the idea of mikra bikurim? Doesn't sound like it. No, it's not. There's no korban connected.
Right.
So why does it end the parsha? Why does the Torah end the section of you brought your first fruits and Yarami over Avi? Why does it end with this idea of Samachta b'chol atov? How is that connected to the concept that we're talking about? So I think the answer is relatively straightforward. Right? What is the idea of bikurim? When you bring your first fruits, you bring the... What is that supposed to instill in us, inculcate into us? What's that? Oh, correct. It's exactly right. The idea of Bikurim is to take the first things that you have, and what are you doing with it? You give it to the Kohen, right? And this idea that when you bring your first, the first is not necessarily the best, but it's symbolic of the best things that you have. And you bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're saying... You've given me everything. And the least I can do is give you the first things that you have in order to show a sense of appreciation. So the idea of bringing Bikurim, I think, is very logical. That when you do this mitzvah, when you'll fulfill this mitzvah, then it's v'samachta b'chol hatov. It allows you to take joy in all the good that Hashem gave to you. Think about the idea, what we say is... One second... Vayitain lanu et haaretz hazot, eretz zavat chalav udivash, v'ata hineh heveti, I brought this for you because of all the things that you've given me. Okay, giving really does inculcate in us a sense of the things that we have.
So appreciation. If without appreciation, you cannot have happiness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. That's exactly correct. And how do you have that sense of appreciation? By doing things that articulate that sense of appreciation. And that's exactly how it is. Okay? Says the Or HaChaim on B'Samachta B'Chol HaTov. Or HaChaim? No. Baal HaTurim. Sorry, the Baal HaTurim says. B'Samachta B'Chol HaTov. B'Samichle. What's the next pasuk? Ki techale la'aser. The next pasuk is talking about Bidui Ma'aser. Shebishvil ha-ma'aser tismach b'chol ha-tov. When you give ma'aser, that gives you a sense of simcha, of joy, b'chol ha-tov.
And we spoke about ma'aser, was it last week?
Yes, we did. We spoke about ma'aser
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. The idea of ma'aser and
asher.
Very good. This is what he says. Asher, bishvil tishit asher. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now he's reading it in a very different way. Okay? Yeah. It's not saying give because so that you will become wealthy.
No,
well, osher, what is
joy.
It says ayin. What's osher with an ayin? What is ashirut? So that's what did you just say?
Is
that, I brought the Mishnah, but I don't have to quote it.
What did you say?
The Mishnah says, ezehu ashir hasameach b'chalko. Wealth is a relative, is a relative attribute. Who is wealthy? Like, what is wealth? It all depends on your point of view. You know, people will look at us and say, we're loaded. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. And other people will look at us and say, you know, people have to work. You know, terrible. Right? It's hard life. It all depends on your point of view. So, my question is the other way. I was thinking about this Mishnah, Ezehu Ashir Sameach B'Chalko. How do I get Simcha? If I want to be rich, right? How do I get Simcha? Ezehu Sameach. Who is the person who's Sameach? Can you take it the other way?
Wait, I don't understand the question.
It's very nice to say Ezehu Ashir Sameach B'Chalko.
Oh, Ezehu.
I want to know Ezehu Sameach. Ashir?
Ashir B'Chalko is wealthy with what he has.
Is everyone has
life. But, right.
I think what he has. So you can be wealthy with a lot of
what to. How do I get to this? How do, what? How do you, that's the question we have to ask ourselves.
If you appreciate what you have, then you're happy. It's like a circle. And you're rich.
And you're rich. It's.
I always found it interesting when you look at these psukim b'samachta. It's like a command. You need to be happy. You will be happy. It's like v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. This is one of the things, and this falls into that category of commanding an emotion.
And why do you need to be happy all the time?
Pretty depressing to be
well,
down all the time.
Yeah, if you want to connect with Hashem, you have to through simcha. If you ask Hashem to connect to Him, you have to be happy.
But it's
Hashem, you can't connect if you're depressed.
But I feel like it's happiness, as you say, is an attitude. It's not a state of being. So I'm running around and laughing.
No, happiness is not running around and laughing. I'll share with you a personal story. I guess I'll share with the world a personal story. So last night, I'm in the kitchen, and my son comes in. He's in yeshiva, and he's in the middle of his run, and he stops in the middle of the run. He stopped here in order so that we would learn Mishnah, because we learn Mishnah every day, and we're like way behind. So, but he's in dorm, so either he wants to miss dorm, but he stopped, and we learned. And I had like.
Cry.
Oh my God, I wanted to cry. It was like so great. What?
I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I went running and I figured, oh, okay, I'll step at home and learn with Abba.
You know, like.
Oh, sorry, he's not, he's dorming.
He's here. He's in yeshiva. He's allowed to. He's allowed to go out.
He wasn't at home. I thought he went for a run from home.
No.
I said, did you tell your mentrich that you were leaving? He said, I told him I'm going for a run. While I was coming by, I figured it might as well happen and learn with Abba.
Oh, like,
freeze that moment.
Exactly. So why did I feel so good? You can't buy that. You can't pay for that. You can't whatever.
No. No.
Like, why do you feel? Why do I feel so good?
You can't expect that every time.
I know. Seriously. Right? He wasn't. He didn't. He didn't take food.
He didn't want to eat.
He didn't take food. It was very strange because it's the middle of his run. It was very weird. Very unlikely.
I appreciate it.
I
mean, it's good supper.
I totally appreciate it. I really did.
His wedding speech.
Oh, Right. Remember that time?
Between now and then, I'm sure we'll forget.
Between now and, like, tomorrow, I'm sure we're going to send you whatever. Anyway, why is that? What is that? That's a simcha that's very different than, you know, if my son had bought me dinner or gone out of his way to do, you know what I'm saying? It's so far beyond. It's so different. Because, well, what is that simcha?
He put an investment in his Torah learning and his love for Torah learning to see that it actually came to fruition is you're reaping the benefits of your work. Meaning, you know, if Torah wasn't important to you and he came and said, you know, an exercise was only important to you, and he came and said, I want to learn, you'd be like, what are you doing? You're in the middle of a run. You've got to keep moving. Don't lose that energy that you, you know.
Like, I didn't even think of that.
I'm saying it depends what your goals are and what you were putting in, you know.
So then my joy is in seeing that that my child's, that then it's my joy because of me. Is it, I'm being serious, I'm trying to work out.
You realize that the value that you've tried to instill in him has come to...
So I'm happy because the work that I've done has been...
Because he appreciates it as well. He appreciates it totally.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to work through, like, I felt happy. I really did. I felt great.
You're proud of him also.
Yeah, very much so.
You're proud of that choice.
But I'm trying to articulate, what is that... I'm trying to work through what is it, what brings that? When you say v'samachta b'chol hatov, what is that simcha? What is that joy? So I want to read the Or HaChaim when he says v'samachta b'chol hatov, because he says the following. He says al derech omro, as it says, the first Or HaChaim on Yud Aleph, Tov Hashem. Right, what is the rest of that pasuk? Tov Hashem. It's in from Ashrei. Tov Hashem l'chol korav. L'chol asher yikru'uhu be'emet. We could basically spend the rest of the time just thinking about what that means. Right? Tov, God is good. L'chol korav. To all of those who call him. But not just to those who call him. L'chol asher yikru'uhu be'emet. To all those who truly call him. Call him in emet, in truth. Meaning, it's not that I call out to God, the way I understand this, and I'm sure there's a million ways to understand it. It's not that I call out to God for what I want and what I need. I call out to God because I yearn for God.
I have a relationship.
Correct.
It's not acknowledge his truth.
It's not?
Is it not acknowledge his truth?
Yes, the ku'uhu be'emet. But it's not that I call and say, God, I really need to get this job. God, I really need my son to do X. God, I really need this to happen. No, I call out to God because I say, God, I want to connect to you. I want to understand you.
But if that's true,
if that's true, whether I get what I want or don't get what I want, what am I going to realize? Tov Hashem. That God is good. Says Or HaChaim, Ulha'ircha amar Hashem b'chol hatov, v'samachta b'chol hatov. Right? Ezehu Ashir, what is that wealth? Hasamech v'chelko. Why, but why are you samech b'choko? Because you didn't. Because not because you got what you asked for, or what you think you need, or what your friends think you need. It's because you called out to God and realized that what you got is tov. Pirush davar hakolel kol hatov, the thing that includes all good. Ve'en ze el hakadosh baruch hu, shehu mekor hatov. He is the wellspring of goodness. Asher natan lecha, that he gives you. Pirush. Ki davar ze ein erech elav ela matnat chinam. Or Chaim is saying something deeper than what I just said. He says, if you want to reach out to God's goodness, there's only a certain level that you can appreciate on your own, and the rest HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give you. V'samachta b'chol hatov asher natan lecha Hashem. Right, the extra that God gives you that you can't reach on your own, that brings great joy. I don't think he's talking about this with samachta in that context. No, I think that he's taking it out of context. I think he's trying to... Or HaChaim is more of a Kabbalist. He's more of the spiritual perspective. And he's bringing it out and saying... He definitely started in the context of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go back and explain why Eretz Yisrael in the end. I have a thing from Rav Kook about this idea. I'm going to go back to it. But here he's talking something different, a spiritual goodness, a spiritual joy, a goodness that comes from reaching out, clearly yearning, reaching out, seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and getting something in return that you couldn't have gotten on your own. Asher natan lecha Hashem. V'amar lecha lishlo zulato. And it says, v'samachta asher natan Hashem lecha, that God gave lecha to you. Not zulato, not anyone else. Lo malach, lo serafim can have that. Angels can't have this, and serafim can't have this. Gam yir Moses says, b'ma'amar b'chol hatov, el ha-Torah. Tov also refers to the Torah, as it says, ein tov el ha-Torah. We have a pasuk, ki lekach tov, natati lachem. I gave you this good thing. She'im ayu b'nei adam margishim, b'metikut v'arevut tov ha-Torah. If people could appreciate the sweetness and the uniqueness of the goodness of the Torah, hayu mishtag'im, they would go crazy. Umelahatim achareha, and they would be
enthused,
passionate about it. V'lo yichshav b'nehem m'lo olam kesef v'zahav l'me'uma. Money would be worth nothing. Ki ha-Torah kolelet kol ha-tovot sheba olam. So what's that again? So he's saying, what's v'samachta b'chol ha-tov? What is Mikra Bikurim about? Mikra Bikurim is about the idea that we spend so much time and energy, the poor farmer spends the vast majority of his time and energy trying to make a parnasa, trying to work just to make the fields produce. And the end, right, he has to bring his first fruits. What is he doing when he's bringing the first fruits to God? What he's really saying to God is, in truth, in reality, what I'd love to be doing is spending my time in spiritual pursuits. But what I have to do is support my family and feed my family and take care of myself. So he's saying the joy comes from understanding that and appreciating that. Why is Esau Ashir Asamech B'chalko? The problem with pursuit, with physical pursuits, is they feed on themselves. And I think we all know this. As soon as you have, you know, we've talked about this before, one kind of telephone, you want the better kind of telephone, right? You want the next, right? We've talked about that. One kind of car, you want the next kind of car, and it feeds on itself, and it's true. Desire begets desire, yearning begets yearning. Why? Because I want to progress, I want to proceed. Whereas a person who understands the true meaning of life and the real secret of life and the value of spirituality and connections to God, understand that these things are tools for us to use. And it doesn't matter if my phone, you know, works perfectly or doesn't work perfectly. All right, yeah, whatever, okay. What?
I'm also having issues.
Yeah, we have.
We have the same phone, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, so it turns off every now and then. So, okay, so I can't do all the things you wanted to do. It's pretty good.
Mine turned off. I'm high alone this week. Yeah.
Right. We've become, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, that brings joy. That brings happiness. Yeah, I was thinking one second. I just want to make one more point. You can make your point while I'm looking up Rabbi
Yeah. You're saying Tova, Tova, Natan, Be'achalta, Be'savata, Be'rachta, Ta'aretz, Tova, Asher, Natan, Lach. You have the Tova and the Natan also over there. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that the ultimate Tov, that Hashem created the world in order for us to experience the ultimate Tov, which is a connection with Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're striving for when you bench, and that's the Kavanah to have that when you bench is, again, like you said, this appreciation of the connections with that. You didn't listen.
I wasn't listening. I was looking for what I was saying. Yeah, I thought you were telling everybody else. Can you say it again? Please. No, please.
No, ve'achalta b'savata ve'rachta.
Yeah.
Hashem alakacha la'aretz ha-tova she'natan lach.
Okay.
And so he says, it's the tova and the natan lach. And he says in benching that the ultimate tov is a relationship with God. And that's how Hashem created us. Hashem created us because he wants us to have good.
Right.
And good is the relationship with God. It's good for us to have a relationship with him. That's what Hashem wants.
Okay.
This,
by the way, this is really the essence of why we do what we do. This is the struggle that we have between trying to curtail our daily life, not curtail our day, but infuse our daily life with meaning that we try to find. And I was thinking about this in the context, we're going to go to the Tochacha in a second. There's two versions of the Tochacha, it's fascinating. You know, there's a version in Bechukotai and a version in Kitavo. The version in Bechukotai is shorter. It's much shorter. Okay, but there is one pasuk. Oh, can you turn to the end of the Tochacha? There's one fascinating pasuk that doesn't appear.
Which one?
In the first one, in Bechukotai. Okay, in which, at the end of the Tochacha,
yeah.
God says the following. God says, if you don't fulfill the commandments, thank you. Okay. If you don't do what I said, da 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 da. 1 second. Chav vav in vayikra b'chukotai chav vav lamed gimel. As if you don't fulfill the keep the Shemitah, tiyotze haaretz. If sorry, right. As tiyotze haaretz et shabtoteha. Kol yemei hashama v'teren be'eretz oyveichem. As tishbat haaretz v'hirtzat et shabtoteha. If you don't follow the Torah and you don't keep my commandments,
specifically Shemitah,
then there's a specific connection between the punishments of the Tochacha and Shemitah. Then the land will tirtzeh, it will get back its Shemitah. And if you look at Rashi on that line, if you look at Rashi on Vayikra Chav Vav Lamed Daled, Rashi goes through an entire calculation to explain exactly how it was literally year for year, the 70 years of the Galut corresponded to however many, I don't know exactly how he got it, however many Shemitot they had missed. 70 times 50, it's really like, I don't know how exactly he gets it. 7 times 50, right? It's 350, and then there's another 400 years. He does the whole calculation, Rashi does, explaining how the 70 years were corresponding to the Shemitot that were missed. And when I read that Rashi, by the way, I think about that Rashi, it makes me realize how hard it was to keep Shemitah. Like, we're about to go into Shemitah, and we have all the shiurim about, can I mow my lawn, or can I not mow my lawn? And I'm like in anguish about this, because like, I love picking the weeds, and I like everything to be exactly so. That's my, like, anguish. And we're going to worry about, do I buy Otar Beitin, or do I, like, Heter Mechira, and what's the best way to do it? But all of the meaning of Shemitah is pretty much totally lost on us. You want to keep Shemitah? Tell you what, everybody quit. Quit your job for the year. You did that? Oh, your husband, right. I don't envy. I mean, it's that's...
It's taken his bad.
Good for him. Her husband's a gardener, for anybody who doesn't know, okay? That's hard. So imagine if all of us were like that, and what does that do to... What is the point of that? The point of that, obviously, is it doesn't belong to you. But not only doesn't belong to you, it's not about that. It's not about 6 years. Okay, the 6 years is to, you know, to bring about, you have to feed your family and we live in a physical world. But it's much more than that. So while you guys are figuring it out and understanding that and appreciating it and living on faith and hopefully accounting, right? You know, temp work. Right? The rest of us, life goes on. We found ways around it. We found loopholes in order to avoid this unbelievable lesson of spirituality that we're supposed to be living.
Well, and I'm saying it used to be an agricultural society, and good. It's no longer an agricultural society. It's not like we were looking for. I mean, we have found.
Of course, we're looking for it.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying if we were all farmers.
Can I ask you a question?
Farmers, then it would be different.
Can I ask you a question? Okay, you know the 100 years ago, when Rav Kook didn't issue the Heter Mechira. Rav Yitzchak Hanan Spector issued the Heter Mechira. Only when Rav Kook gave it here, they pulled it to pieces. But whatever. I could see 70 years ago saying that the country would fall apart without a Heter Mechira. Would the country fall apart economically without a Heter Mechira today?
I don't know.
No, of course not.
The country wouldn't, but agriculture, Gam Kafe, is such a bad state.
Correct. There's plenty of water.
It's not enough. And the water prices are very
high. Okay, this is all fine and good. If we as a nation decided, maybe said, we have a national priority, and we're going to take upon ourselves this burden of Shemitah, could we do it?
We could.
Absolutely, we could.
But we don't have this.
We could. The government decided to give funding.
Correct. Right. Absolutely. And to be honest with you, they already do. They do support farmers, but not to such a degree. They do. Included, but without it, so we said there's no Heter Mechira. We're gonna support the farmers, and everyone's gonna pay a Shemitah tax.
Yeah, that would work.
Would you pay?
Yeah.
I would too. Would everybody?
No.
Well,
there's not a consensus.
Because we as Orthodox, I wouldn't say Orthodox, as Shomrei Mitzvot, we want to support the Mitzvot, but not everybody in the country does.
I'm asking you, could we? Could the country?
Well, if we were,
no, I'm saying, but could we? It probably wouldn't be that expensive, to be honest with you. Wouldn't be that hard. Correct?
We pay a lot of taxes for a lot of other stuff.
Sure we do. 100%.
I'm, yeah.
All I'm saying is that it's not impossible today. It's not, you know, beyond the realm. It's not critical to the fun, to the survival of the nation. It's not. But we still find ways around it because we don't want to pay that collective price. Only you have to pay. No, what would happen?
It's not like you're isolated in your own country.
Correct.
We could import everything.
Anything for money.
Correct.
And I think also what Boris said is the equivalent point. A lot of agriculture style, like from the kibbutz in the Shomer, you know, they had some material in order to keep their head.
I don't blame them. I'm saying it's not a national priority. It's not something we say this is critical for us as a people, and that's our job to try to make it that. What? That's correct. I mean, it's not considered a national priority. Okay. Skip now to the Tokacha. Chafchet memhei. We're going to see the exact same idea from the opposite perspective. 28:45. Tochacha is really long. Almost every year I skip it because it's a big downer. Okay?
The one in the Sukkot with my son from school.
Yeah. That's short. That's nothing. Okay?
It's so depressing.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I know that's how we have the war now.
That's what he said?
Yeah, it says Hashem is going to send the enemies to us. And
that wasn't the Tochacha.
That's the bad part.
No, that wasn't the Tochacha at all. Are you kidding? People should understand, the war, while as bad as it was time of bracha. How do I know it's time of bracha? Oh, what about all the enemies? I just have to read you from the psukim. People fail to realize this. We get brachot. What are the brachot? One second. Okay. No. Not on an individual level. But people shouldn't expect messianic times are times when everybody loves us and everybody comes together. What does it say in the brachot? Baruch Ata, I'm just reading from the beginning of Chachet. Baruch Ata b'brecha, Baruch Ata b'tzeitecha. If you keep the Torah, you keep the commandments, you'll be blessed here, you'll be blessed there. Yiten Hashem et oivecha kamim alecha nigafim lifanecha. B'derech echad yetzu eilecha u'b'shiv'a drachim yalnusu mipanecha. It's not like this utopia of a perfect world where there's no wars and everybody loves us and nobody attacks us. Oy vecha hakamim alecha. This is before the Tochacha. During times of blessing and bracha, I'm sorry, I'm skipping. During times of bracha, during good times we have enemies. During times of blessing, we have people that attack us. What do we do during those times? We beat the snot out of them. That's good times. And it doesn't say it's going to be perfect, that nobody will suffer. You understand what I mean? It's really important to inculcate that. To not to create an expectation. I think sometimes we suffer from that, this country. How come we lost soldiers? It's a terrible thing to lose even one soldier. But understand the proportions. Understand the odds. We have the power. We have the strength. Even though it doesn't matter, like, oh, they say they won. They can have as many rallies as they want. But look at the reality, and never to forget that we live in times of great bracha, tremendous bracha. Chas v'shalom to say that we live in times of tochacha.
But the beginning of the tochacha is that you're not keeping the mitzvot. I don't think we could say in Eretz Yisrael today. It doesn't use the word majority of the Jews. It doesn't use any quota. It just says you have to keep the mitzvot. I don't think we could say we're keeping the mitzvot.
It's
strange. As a nation, all the whole other country.
It's improving.
Kids spend it every year.
Yes.
I mean, a third of the Chaylim are religious.
With the Sunni in our religious
road. Yeah.
You see that heck of this guy comes up to us. He's like, Ma, you didn't bring your washing powder? Because you're fully dressed. like, don't get sunstroke.
Dvar, I have to tell you, first of all, one of the things I struggle with is that we live in our little yeshuvi religious bubble. Right, we definitely do, which is hard.
It's a good bubble.
It's a rock bubble.
B, in my interactions with people, I think there's a desire. We live in a time where there's a yearning for a connection to the idea of what it means to be Jewish. And even though it doesn't translate in exactly the way that we think and the way that we would like, we need to recognize that there is a spiritual yearning, there is a connection. And our job, to some degree, is to whatever degree, A, raise our children in the way that we see fit, and hopefully spread the idea of this connection to our inner selves, to our inner sense. So what are we doing here? And what is the purpose of the Jewish people? And there's a lot more of that than you'd think. Most Jews celebrate Shabbat. They're not Shomrei Shabbat per se, but they celebrate Shabbat.
I think if you they have to see that how successful Chabad has been. Meaning, I think if Chabad had set up stands with put on tefillin and nobody went, soldiers who have put on tefillin maybe since their bar mitzvah,
right?
They look at it and say, "What do I care?"
Right?
But they
want it.
They do stop, and they.
Are you kidding? And the war. I mean, war is not a good example. Yeah. When they gave out, during the war, they gave out tzitzit. Yeah. They gave out I don't know, tens of thousands of pairs of tzitzit. And there were no soldiers that said, meh. Very few soldiers that said, meh.
I'm sure there were some.
I'm sure there were some. I'm sure there were some. But, actually, one of the reasons why the soldiers wanted it was because they specifically ordered dry fit tzitzit. You know what I'm saying? Which wick away the sweat. So, take it, by hook or by crook. So, back on Chaf Chet, Mem Hei. Hu uvau alecha, all of these curses will come upon you and chase you and reach you until your destruction. Ad velo ad, until ki lo shamata bekol Hashem alokecha, because you didn't hear the voice of Hashem your God. Lishmor mitzvotav v'chukotav asher tzivach, to keep the commandments and the chukim that He commanded you. V'hayu amar pasuk membav. It will be on you as a sign and a symbol, and in your children until eternity. Why? Mem Zayin. Tachat. Asher lo avadeta at Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'betuv levav meirov kol. Because you didn't worship the Lord your God with joy u'betuv levav. Goodness of heart. Meirov kol. What's meirov kol?
From the abundance of everything.
From the abundance of everything. All of this is happening to you. This is a very, very, very powerful pasuk. All of these terrible things are happening to you because you stopped keeping the mitzvot. But why did you stop keeping the mitzvot? You stopped keeping the mitzvot because you stopped worshiping God out of joy and goodness of heart, meirov kol, when you had everything. Here's the process. God gives you blessings. What do?
You don't appreciate it.
Right. You take them for granted. You take the blessings to be the ikar, and the God is there. And pretty soon, the blessings become everything. And all you want is more and more blessing. And you forget about the Ribono Shel Olam and the reason you're there and the spirituality until you begin to engage in activities that are against what Hashem wanted. Then you become punished. Then you're punished. So it's like a catch-22. Because what? God doesn't want to bless you? No, of course He wants to bless you. But if He gives you blessings, then that brings about this idea of overabundance and self-reliance and taking things for granted. So what's our responsibility? Our responsibility, the answer, the key to everything is simcha v'tuv levav meirov kol. Having this sense of joy and goodness of heart when you have the blessings that you have. Right? Ejahu ashir hasameach b'chalko. How do you have that simcha? How do you have that simchat chayim? How do you have that tuv levav? I think the answer, of course, is the answer that we've been going along all along, that we've been suggesting, is this notion of real joy comes from understanding and appreciating the inner essence, the true things that are important. Ein simcha ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tov is tov Hashem l'chol korav asher yikru be'emet. Sing the true tov. Understanding, appreciating the true tov. I read you a midrash. So the midrash says, obviously, what's the antidote? Okay, Ezra avodashe besimcha betuv levav. Havayomer zos shira. Some say it's shira. What's shira in this context?
Tefillah.
Not just tefillah. Praise to God. Ve'eman. Some say divrei Torah, because it says Gudei Hashem yisharim misamchei lev. Those who are Yitzhak Hashem, Yisham Yisam Chedev, those bring joy to the heart. Says another midrash, Avod Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Chanan Yisgan HaKohenim Omer, Kol Anotein Divrei Torah Alibo, someone who places the words of Torah in his heart, Mevatlim Mimenu Hir Hurim Harbe. The Torah negates many, many different kinds of thoughts. Hirurei Ra'av, thoughts of hunger, Hirurei Shtut, foolishness, Hirurei Znut, sexuality, Hirurei Yetzahara, Ol Basar Vadam, all of these things. Why? Because it says, "Begudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev, Mitzvrat Hashem Bara Meirat Einayim." Okay, v'chol she'eino noten divrei Torah alibo. If you don't put the words of the Torah in your heart, notimo hivrei rabe. You get a lot of other thoughts. What kind of thoughts? Hivrei ra'av, shtut, znut, yetzer hara, dvarim b'teilim, ol basar v'adam. Meaning, if your focus is on your spirituality, on true meaning, on why am I here in this world, then you're not distracted by so many other things. It doesn't mean you're not engaged in other things, but they don't become consuming. They become means to an end. But if they become the, but if they're the focus, then it's never enough, and you want more, and have all these desires and all these yearnings, etc., etc. And then it's possible to become happy. It's impossible to have this simchat chayim. Why? Because never enough. And it just feeds upon itself.
It's also related to Eretz Yisrael, like you said, because I have a friend who just made up the end. It's so hard for her, and everything's going wrong, and the bureaucracy and the hassle. And you can focus on that, but you need to focus on how amazing it is to live here, how beautiful, how
why
to feel the goodness.
Why is that amazing and beautiful? There's a lot of beautiful places in the world.
It takes a couple of years.
Well, it takes a couple of years to. It does take a couple of years.
No, but why?
No, you're not articulating it. You're not articulating why it's amazing and beautiful, because there are a lot of beautiful places in the world. There really are. There are a lot of places that it's like somebody who asked me, "Oh, we were meeting with a Torah couple," and they were like, "How do you like it here? Like, what do you like?"
You have to open your eyes to see. I do weddings
through Irgun Rabbeinu Tzohar. And one of the things before the wedding, they come here and you have to meet with them about the chuppah. Like just secular, totally secular couples. Really?
Wait, what?
Sometimes it's astounding.
Oh, don't forget, we need the wine has to be kosher, honey, for the wedding.
Right. No, the place is kosher.
It was in their house. That one was in their house.
Right, they had non-kosher wine.
And actually, we couldn't believe it. We were like, what? You can buy non-kosher wine in this country?
Yeah. You know.
They said no, they bought it in.
You can, absolutely. Anyway,
yeah.
So they were asking, like, why are you doing here? Like, they were so curious, like, how is life, like, why is life here? And you're like, amazing, beautiful.
So you have to have your eyes in the right. Mm-hmm.
The reason why it's amazing and beautiful to you is because living here is the fulfillment of exactly the things that we've been talking about. You're doing it in order to fulfill a sense of the values that we have, as opposed to putting the creature comforts or the ease or the familiarity, which is difficult to measure how powerful that is, ahead of, no, these are my spiritual values. This is my connection to my people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So like, when we walk around, everything that we do is infused with that. Like, I'm going to go to the gym in about 5 minutes. And like, I'm going to the gym in Yad Binyamin, in this great place. And it's just, you know what I'm saying? There's a separate gym in Michigan also. But it's a different gym. It's a different gym because... What?
So things of ours came to the beginning recently. Did you tell me? She said to me, you didn't tell me that I was coming to get an
Yeah.
I said, I've been telling you for 6 years.
Well,
but that's been an experience. Like, wow. It's just been like a wow experience.
Meaning
it's
that...
Like,
Lori, the wealth that you have, the osher you have that with the ayin, is the samech b'chalko. It's because you decided that this was more important than that. That the struggle is more important than that.
So you feel that when you go to Chutz Laaretz, you feel like this isn't.
Well,
I wonder if that's like a kind of.
Meaning, we feel it because we sacrificed.
Not only that, I think we're talking from a place of class comfort.
No, there isn't.
If you really don't have bread,
the most spiritual about what we have here is what we have in this.
Right. Agreed.
So the little
we have in the
world. You see it in a great way.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not like that.
Let's go back to. We'll conclude.
We were there.
Okay. Actually, it wasn't totally
separate.
The Torah wasn't totally separate.
Anyway,
let's go back to Vahaya of the Or HaChaim, the Simcha of the Or HaChaim. 1 second. So I have a piece. I want to finish with this. Because I want to finish with this, ladies. I want to finish with this, and I need your help. Because it's a little bit confusing. We began with why is Vahaya Lashon Simcha? In addition, Vahaya, we says Vahaya is Lashon Simcha, and Vayihi is always Lashon Tzar.
Right.
That's what the Midrash says.
Vayihi is
the Vahaya is also it will be. Vayihi is the past, and it was. Okay?
There's no so, end.
Put your thinking cap on. Okay? Vayihi Mechashverosh. Vayihi, the Midrash says, is always Lashon Tzar. Vahaya is Lashon Simcha. Vahaya says of Tzvi Yehuda. What is Vahaya? It's taking Haya. Haya means it was. But it's putting on the Vahaya and turning it into the future.
It's also Shem Hashem.
Vahaya means and it will be. Vahaya means it will be.
It's also the Otiyot of Shem Hashem.
One second. I'm giving you Tzvi Yehuda's piece. Hold on a second. Again, Vahaya means and it will be in the future. What is Vayihi? Vayihi b'mechashrosh, and it was. But in Hebrew, what is Haya?
Was.
What is Vihaya?
And it was.
And it will be. The Vihaya turns what was.
The Vav
turns what was into, right. Vav Ayipuch turns what was into what will be. Vayihi, what's Yihi?
What will be.
What will be. And you add the Vav, turns it into the past. I have to read it to you. Okay. Vihaya means Kshadam Matzliach Latet La'avar Et Godel Ha'atid. Vihaya, when you take the past and infuse it with the greatness of the potential of the future. That's Lashon Simcha. Vayihi is when you take the future and turn it into the past. Which I think means, what? Lashon Tzar means, Vayihi is when I say to myself, I wish the future is as good as what I had in the past. Whereas Vihaya is, the past, I wish the past can be as good as the future.
Where's the present?
One second. I
wish the past can have as much potential and meaning as my future.
Had been.
Meaning I hope that the future will be as good as the past.
No.
No.
Right.
No. Exactly. I told you I need your help. Exactly. Right? Think about it.
The
Haya means
to be better than the past.
So it's whether you're forward thinking or you're backward thinking.
Correct.
Unless the past is
correct.
So wonderful.
Correct.
Well,
no, I'm infusing the past with the meaning of the future.
Living in the past.
What does that mean?
Welcome to Rav Kook. Exactly. I'm infusing the past. Meaning, but think about it that way. Think about the meaning. Vehaya. And it will be. I'm infusing the past with the meaning of the future.
Not going forward.
No, I am going forward. That's Lashon Simcha.
So you're
the
using
joy
your
of
past in order to move forward.
No, I don't think that's what
he means. Letting the past power you forward. Like making whatever happens you already be a positive force to move you towards the future.
I think what he's saying is I haven't defined my past in because of my future. My future will then define what happened in the past. I'm not looking backwards.
My past decisions won't make me stuck.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, that's right. What? Because it's hard. I don't know. It's interesting. It's fascinating. Because we started with Vahaya Ki Tavol Haaretz. He says, Ein Vahaya Ela Lashon Simcha. And the joy is of Vahaya, of taking the past and looking toward the future. And that's why he says, Al Derech Omro, 1 second, Ein Simcha Ela Bishivat Haaretz. So Rav Kook says, what's Shivat Haaretz? When we reach a sense of shleimut in and of ourselves, the people, sense of wholeness and completion and oneness and sense of inner unity with ourselves, with our own potential. And I think that's the joy.
The ultimate goal is that when you come to the land. So.
Right. It connects to this idea of osher, of well-being and of wealth, spiritual wealth. When we have that sense that the things that we're pursuing really mesh together, that we're not conflicted, but even the physical pursuits are there to serve our spiritual pursuits. And that brings true joy. That's the simcha that we're yearning for. that really brings us the blessings that we're trying to achieve. And so I think that there's this message of, like, even in the context of the Tochacha, we have to find that, we have to try to maintain this idea of finding the sense of simcha, the sense of joy. Because it's something that only we can achieve. It's not something that anybody can give us. You have to focus on the positive, but it's not just focusing on the positive. It's focusing not just on the blessings that you have, but focusing on the why am I doing what it is that I'm doing. Because when we do that, when we understand that the why infuses a sense of meaning and purpose, then we'll have v'samech b'chalko, the joy in the things that we have. When we have v'chol asher yikru'uhu be'emet, then we can see tov Hashem. And Rav Kook points out, he says, it doesn't just say in the pasuk, tachat asher lo v'ata Hashem alakecha b'simcha. It's not just enough to be happy. It's simcha u'betuv levav. There's a certain sense of, you can have joy, but you can have it without tuv levav, goodness of heart. And the goal is to get to a place where you're both sameach, you're happy in the moment, but tuv levav, also goodness of heart. There's a certain peacefulness, a certain positiveness that we all can achieve. Rav Kook just points out.
It's supposed to be lev.
I don't know.
Tuv
levav.
Poetic.
I don't know exactly. Yeah. And he points out, by the way, it's really important to point out, it's not something you get in a moment. These are things that are, he says, hadragatiyut. Gradually. You build upon them year after year. And I think that's really important to point out as we enter into Rosh Hashanah is...
Ototo.
Oh, it's good.
2 weeks.
Ototo. Am I happier this year
around the corner
than I was last year? And not just in do I have more stuff or are my children better behaved or et cetera, et cetera. But am I more focused on the things that are guiding me this year than last year? To have this idea of tuv levav. And that's a big challenge, a real challenge. And that's what tshuva, returning to ourselves, really is. Trying to find that sense of inner truth and inner happiness. And to get a little closer each and every year. We'll stop here.